I was like, what do you mean? He said, Allah is teaching you that even though you learned all what you learned, well, Allah, you can't stop this. He's like, what do I do? He said, flee to Allah. And then, mashallah, over time, he got help. Substance abuse issue. Got help with it. Overcame it. So sometimes we may fall into sin. This is going to sound crazy. Some scholars said sometimes a sin can be an opening. Because it reminds me, I'm not as special as I thought I was. It doesn't mean I go out and sin. Yeah, I'm so humble. Okay, light that up. No, of course not. That's not what that means, right? What it means is I'm trying not to, but I'm telling myself how great I am, and then I make a mistake. That mistake is to tell me the asal is God, not you. Don't get it twisted. So the sheikh is saying, إِذَا صَحَّ أَصْلُ الْقَصْدِ فَالْعَوَارِدُ لَا تَدُرُ. If the sincere intention is there, qasd in Arabic means the place you want to travel to. That's what it is. And actually the word niya is from the word which means the direction you travel. So if my niya is right and the objective is right, other stuff is not going to come between it. Happens in marriages, right? People get married, and as Malcolm X said, in-laws are outlaws, right? Or family members or friends. They come into the marriage, you love, this is not my case, I'm a mother-in-law here, she's amazing, mashallah. So let me make that clear, but I've seen this, where the mothers will come and say, why do you love your wife more than me? What are you doing? You want to raise your son to love your wife more than he loves you. That means you've been a great mother. Or vice versa. But they'll start to, and then you find the couple start to fall apart. But if the intention for love is real, you'll be able to make it through. Why did you like those waves, man? They rock you. But I know what I want, and I know it's right. I'm not going to be rocked. Maybe I decide to become more religious. I find opposition in my family and people close to me. I want to become Muslim, or I want to grow spiritually, or I want to become a better person, then I'm worried about the awadi. But if the objective is real, that's not going to rock me. So that's why in Uhud, what does the Prophet do in Uhud? He smiles. Because he's like, yeah, we got bigger things to worry about, man. We have a greater goal. Now in the Muslim community, all the losses that Islam and Muslims have gone through, and now it's so bad, you got Muslim states attacking Muslims. Like, Saudi press is releasing articles attacking Ilhan Omar. Like, what the heck? Like, what? This is not the Islamophobes. Attacking Sister Rashida. Muslims attacking Sister Rashida because she dropped an F-bomb. Like, go feed your kids or something, man. God, other things doing life. God bless her. It's hard, man. She overcome with emotion, and she's from Detroit. Like, just give her a break, right? But we're not focused on the objective. We're caught up in the awad. So Sheikh is saying, إِذَا صَحَّ أَصْلُ قَصْدِ. If the foundation is really real with you and authentic and intrinsic to you, فَالْعَوَارِدُ لَا تَدُرُ. You're not going to be harmed by this secondary stuff. You're focused. The Arabs, they have a beautiful metaphor. It's very sexist, so forgive me. On both sides. But it's interesting. It said if the groom is overwhelmed by the girl's beauty, he doesn't care about the mahr. You can tell him like $1 million. No problem, dog. I'm good. $30,000. I'm good. I love this person. And they say, and if the woman likes the guy, she doesn't care how low the mahr is. It's a metaphor, it's an old metaphor, but what it means is, if I enjoy what I struggle for, I don't care about the struggle. The struggle is just the process. That's why when you go to the gym and the personal trainer talks to you, they got all those posters around you. He's like, yeah, you about to do 300 mountain climbers. I don't want to. Look at that. Oh, okay, I'll do 500. Six pack, 500. Right, the objective is there in front of me. So Sheikh is saying, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the objective, then life is just salt on the food. All right, we can move on. And that's dealing with attachments, objectives, goals. And then he starts to lay out foundations and principles. So he says, أصول من كل أصول من علوم الدنيا والآخرة مأخوذ من الكتاب والسنة. So now maybe someone asks, like, how do I learn this? How do I lay out these foundations? Listen, the first thing that you have to do is not have a sheikh, not have a guide, not have someone that you're living your spirituality through. Again, tech support. It's important. I need tech support. Okay? But he says, أصول, أصل من كل أصول من علوم الدنيا والآخرة. The foundation of all sciences in the world. Like, what he means is generally, not specifically, right? The foundation of all that is taken from the Quran and Sunnah. Have a relationship with revelation, then. Have a regular relationship with revelation. And reframe the Quran as not an opportunity to be debased, but as an opportunity for exploration and growth. I'm scared when I hear people tell me, I've been told I'm not good enough for the Quran. Like, did we forget who the Sahaba were? I started reading the Quran in the bathroom of my mother's house, next to the kitchen where she was cooking ham hocks and bacon. I don't think it's the worst situation to be reading the Quran. I didn't know. Because my mother is an old school Southern Christian woman. And I was scared. If she found that Quran in the house, man, I'm going to be next to the ham hocks and the bacon. Seriously. So I had to hide it in a place where no one would be able to find it. So I hid it in the restroom. And I would go lock the door, 15 years old. Listen to Nas and read the Quran. Ilmatic and Fatiha. Like, how does that work? And next door. Now I come out, she's like, you were in the restroom for a really long time. Like, you have a girlfriend now or something? What's going on? I was like, no, just, you know, whatever. So if, like, I found truth in that situation, why would you tell yourself if you're already Muslim, like, the Quran doesn't have something for you? The Quran is for sinners. It ain't just for saints. And there's a very, very beautiful statement of Abu Nuwas. Abu Nuwas was a person who lived in the early history of Islam, who was a drunkard. But you know who his friend was? Imam Shafi. Imam Shafi stayed in touch with him. Why would he do that? Because Imam Shafi is also Minister Shafi. Not just Imam Shafi. That's my dude. Even though he's drunk, like, I still have a relationship with him. So he kept a relationship with him. Abu Nawas, his poems about alcohol, we study them till now because they're so beautiful. The way he talks about alcohol. Because the language is so beautiful. But he's talking about getting lit. Imam Shafi keeps a relationship with him. Keeps a relationship with him. And you have this beautiful, beautiful example of a person who ultimately, because the objective is there, is able to wade through a life of sin and find God. The process, as our boy, our man, Joel Embiid, talks about. Trust the process. Although it's not working for him right now. Trust the process. Jimmy Butler, man. Trust the process. And Abu Nawas, when he dies, you know, you should read about him. Someone should translate his story. The Imam refused to pray on him. Righteous indignation. Not Imam Shafi, of course. But another Imam. People went to him and said, Abu Nawas died. Can Shadab al-Khamr. He has a form of poetry in Arabic called Khamriyat. Just about Khamr. He created it. The poem praising alcohol. That's him. But towards the end of his life, the usul is there. So not only does this pertain to the person, but if I'm around people that have the same foundation as me, but they may be struggling, I understand, right, that I keep that relationship. I keep them connected to Quran. I keep them somehow on the periphery. Maybe one day that light will touch them. So what does he say? I refuse to pray for this man. So they start to wash his body, and they found a poem in his pocket that said, Allahumma in azumat dhunubi kathratan. Oh Allah, my sins are massive. Wa ana a'lam bi'afuka a'zamu. But your forgiveness is greater than my sin. This poem called the Tawbah of Abi Nawas. And in the second line he says, In kana la yarjuka illa muhsinan. If only the righteous people can hope in you. Man yas'al dhamil as-su'al. Then who will the sinner ask? So if the Quran is only for the righteous people, what's its purpose? Because the majority of us are what? Broken. So don't tell yourself like, I don't have access to this, I'm not good enough, I'm not Arab, I'm Arab, I don't speak Arabic, such an a'ib, wallahi, and I don't know shay'an, you know, blah, 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 I know how it is. Yeah, I'll be rocking Amr Diab, I understand Quran. Haifa, I understand Quran, I don't understand. So what? Like, Sahaba were not a monolith. So he said, the foundation is Quran and Sunnah. And start that scaffolding. So, the first is to have an intimate relationship with revelation. Not to approach it as simply something that's there to debilitate me. There's times where I need to be rocked. There's times I need to be checked. There's times I need to be corrected. Of course, I need that. It's discipline. But overall, the Quran is an opportunity, man, to sustain that relationship. And the same thing with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, madhan. Whatever the Quran has praised, I understand is praiseworthy. Whatever revelation has debased, I understand it as being debased. And that's how I approach it. And then I begin to work on myself. Move on to the next one. I think that was the last one. The next slide. Yeah. From here, we're going to focus on a few principles that deal with the community. Up until now, Sheikh is talking about how you scaffold and how I scaffold my own internal relationship, right? First idea is the idea of wellness, then sincerity, and after sincerity, worship and remembrance, and then moderation and balance, fear and hope, and then the idea of starting this relationship with revelation. I look at revelation now as that personal trainer in my life that helps me stay focused on a righteous objective. If you can scroll down, keep going. Yeah, this is nice. Can you go faster? Yeah, there's another file. So the other file is opened up. Oh, hold on, wait, you know what? Go back up. This is important. Before we move into certain community principles, we're going to make it quick. This is profound because he talks about individual sincerity and individual devotion. As though, like, at this point, he's going to just embellish everything he said prior to this. So he says, إفراد القلب لله تعالى مطلوب بكل حال, right? Devoting the heart to God the Most High is required or commendable, because required would mean Islam didn't ask us to do that all the time. That's impossible. Islam asked us to try to have a heart that's present. So I like to use the word said required, encouraged, matlub, sought after, but not required in every situation. It says, فَلَزِمُ نَفِ الرِّيَاءِ بِالْإِخْلَاصِ. How do you deal with fearing that you're showing off? By being sincere. And how do you deal with that? Because now he's going to talk about what are things that can take away your sincerity. So one is like showing off. The second one is getting it twisted, thinking I'm the greatest thing since sliced cheese. She says, that, you know, you can deal with thinking that you're awesome by remembering who gave you these things. So dealing with showing off, sincerity. What does sincerity mean? I'm not doing it for people. I'm not doing it so people will be quiet. I'm not doing it so people will be quiet, and I'm not doing it so people will talk about me. I don't care about people. Our teacher one time told us a funny story. There was this guy in Kuwait who he wanted to get married. So he met this girl. She's really cool, mashallah. And he decided to go to her father's masjid and pray to impress her father. So he has a small masjid. So he went there, he was like getting down. Getting down, man. Brother was crying, man. And her father, he noticed him. I don't think it's true, but it's funny. And so then he was talking with the other uncles as he was praying. He was like, MashaAllah, hada shab tayyib. Alhamdulillah, you yusalli bil khushu'. You know, he's like such a good boy. He prays with khushu'. And MashaAllah, look how he prays. And then he said, wa ana sa'im. The guy praying said, I'm fasting too. The sheikh said, like, that's an example of riyah, right? Using worship for agency. Said the way to repel that is, don't think about people. In the sense of praise or in the sense of being shamed. It's hard, it's not easy. The way to deal with like being hubristic with myself is to remember bishuhud, and it's to remember blessings. Like, I'm not really the cause of any of this. All of us in this room, there's been times in our life where we accomplished things and we said to ourselves, I have no idea how I did this, man. Lahi, like, I know I don't have the constitution to do this. Happens a lot. So at that moment, I remember. That's why Allah says to Musa, وَلَقَدَ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Over and over the story of Moses, I did this for you, 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 I did this for you. Same thing with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَنَثِ الطَّمَعْ بِوُجُودِ التَّوَكُّلِ. And avoid becoming thirsty. It's interesting that that word thirsty, you remember back in the day, you thirsty, right? The word in spirituality is tama, tama. You thirsty, right? To avoid being thirsty for dunya by trusting in what Allah has given you. We'll unpack that if we had time. وَدَرْ كُلَّ عَسَقُوتِ الْخَلْطِ مِنْ نَذْرِ الْعَبْدِ. And he said, and all of this falls on the fact. And he doesn't mean irresponsibility, so we need to be careful here. He said, but all of this rests on the fact that when it comes to acts of worship and devotion, you're oblivious to creation. Because the asl is something else. The foundation is God, so my focus is God. This is what he means by ifrad al-qalb. The heart is exclusively for God, meaning I'm not worshiping for agency, I'm not worshiping for some kind of utilitarian dawah. I'm worshiping because worship is worship. That's why Allah says to Sayyidina Muhammad, you know, أُمِرْتُ أَعْبُرُ اللَّهِ مُخِصَ اللَّهُ. I was ordered to worship Allah. See, that's why I said sincerity is a challenge. What does sincerity mean? I'm able to pull through the test of finding popularity and agency. I'm willing to pull through the test of being debased or ridiculed for worship. I go through all that, the blood and feces. That's ikhlas. That's why it's hard to translate. I'm cleansed. Now, we don't have time. You see the wisdom of tests. Because those tests make me work the milk. If there were no tests, I might not be sincere. So that's why I said it's hard to translate ikhlas to just sincerity. Ikhlas means I've been through it. And the test, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ said from Sayyidina Ali alayhi salam, وَإِنَّمَا يُجَرَّبُ الْعَبْدُ بِالصَّالِحِ, that indeed الْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحِ يُجَرَّبُ بِإِبْتِلَاءِ, will be cleansed by a test like silver and gold is tested and cleansed by fire. That's the meaning. That process, so now I can appreciate trauma, even though I don't like it. I can appreciate hardship, and I can live a life that sees hardship and tests as a means of improvement and becoming better. Because, and now you can understand what he said earlier, inshallah, and it may rock you. The goal isn't the test. The test is what affects me. But the goal is Allah. So the test is just a means for me to deal with the feces and blood. Sometimes it's not, and it's not easy. But I'm able to frame tests now as opportunity to work on myself. That's why some of our teachers used to say the best pharmacist is Qadr. The best pharmacy is Qadr. Like the best place to get the prescription is Qadha and Qadr. Is Allah's knowledge of everything that happened, why it happens. It's not easy, man. And then he says, فذلك قال سهر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه لا يبلغ العبد حقيقة من هذا الأمر. That a person will not achieve the goal of worship and ikhlas. Hatta tasquta nafsuhu min aynihi, until his personal agency is lost. Like, really, man? And that's why sometimes our teachers used to say to us, do good and don't tell your wife about it. Don't tell your husband. Like, why? Keep something for Allah. Lose any agency. Right? There's a balance. You want to, where's all that money going? I don't know. It'll get you in trouble. But, or where you been? Can't say. Don't do that. Get you in trouble on either side of the fence, right? You could just say, I did something for Allah, I want to keep it between me and Allah. Some of the Sahaba would put perfume on their charity. It's like, this is a gift to myself. So the idea here he's saying is, and Sahal Tustari is a great scholar from Persia, genius, alim, faqih, specializes in the heart. He said, the reality of tasawwuf will not be achieved until you forget yourself when it comes to serving God. Meaning like, Fajr, man, I want to get up, I need to sleep late. Forget yourself. That's what he means. فَلَا يَرَى فِي دَارَيْنِ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبَّ. And at that moment, he said, the way that you can achieve this is that you realize that the only thing that matters in this life and the next is you and God. Just see that. إِحْسَان. Or, يَسْقُطْ الْخَلْقُ مِنْ عَيْنِي. Or that at the second level, maybe that's hard, but at least the world around him, the spiritual likes and dislikes that aren't rooted in something sacred or are trivial, you don't see them. فَلَا يُبَالِكْ. They don't bother you. بِأَيِّ حَالٍ. Then he said, through that process, sincerity, through that process, then you are going to be from the people who those challenges will slowly disappear from you. They may come back later on, but you'll have moments, because we have to realize it's not like a one-time thing. Life is a process. But there'll be moments of bliss, moments of protection, moments of strength. And then at the bottom, he mentions what قَدْ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ الْمُرْسِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَنْ أَرَادَ ظُهُورَ فَهُوَ عَبْدُ الظُّهُورِ. Wow. That whoever wants fame is a slave of fame. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَخْفَاءً. And whoever wants to be out of the limelight for the people. So I'm doing it for the people. Fame for the people. Oh man, I'm pulling out, man, because the people will think this. So it's not about the objective anymore. It's about those secondary issues. So whoever wants to be out of the limelight, فَهُوَ عَبْدُ, then they are the servant of being out of the limelight. وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ سَوَى عَلَيْهِ أَظْهَرُ أَوْ أَخْفَى. It's missing here. He said, but the servant of God, it doesn't matter. You in the limelight, you're not in the limelight, it doesn't matter. Because إِذَا صَحَّ الْأَصْلُ فَالْعَوَارِمُ لَا تَدُرُّ. If the foundation is sound, all these things don't impact it. We don't have time, mashallah. I forgot how deep this book is. Actually, I'm tired of teaching it. I think that's the last one. I'm just going to scroll down. But the next part that we'll cover takes it towards community. Because, okay, it can't just be about me. One of our teachers used to say the worst type of tasawwuf is the tasawwuf that causes you to think about yourself all the time. Because that's like the opposite of what it should do. But in the next part, we'll do part two, inshallah. If everybody's ready, hope everybody's okay. It's not too deep or anything for you. And hopefully you can have the text so you can take notes. Because the way I wrote it, you can take notes in it. But the next part, he talks about community. So he says things like this. Because sometimes spiritual growth creates a sense of hubris and selfishness, which is not healthy. So like, I may feel that I'm spiritually somewhere, so now I treat the community like garbage. Well, that's being deceived. So he talks about things like this. Or maybe I'm like, you know, I'm a student of knowledge. I memorize the Quran. What do you do? So she's customer support. I'm like, you know, customs report's horrible. You know, what's your name? Hala. Hala. Hala is not very spiritual. Hala is not a good person. Astaghfirullah. Muhammad, I can't believe you gave birthday cake to his wife. I'm a hafiz. Mashallah. Blah, blah, blah. Who wasn't even vegan or gluten-free? Blah, blah, blah. So, or it could be, I'm an activist. All these sheikhs suck. You know, or we're sheikhs. All these activists are heathens, untethered from religion. Sheikh, he says, when one of the axioms that we learn, اختلاف المسالك راحة المسالك, that different ways to God are a blessing for you. So he moves away because there's something that happens in his time that we find now in America, that Sufism is its own counterculture, where you gotta speak a certain language, gotta look a certain way, gotta talk a certain way, gotta act a certain way to be considered on the way. But Sheikh is saying, no, the way is for everybody. And the ways are rahmah. It would be horrible for all of us, like, oh, we're all customer service too. Like, that would be so boring. What do you do, man? You know, we're all IT, C++ for life. Right? Back in the 90s, C++. You know? Be like, ugh. You know? But the fact that we're like so different, we come from different places, all of us here today, but we're all here for Allah. So he's saying, like, that's amazing. So he said, you shouldn't be threatened by people coming to God through different expressions. You should be enlightened and overwhelmed by Allah's mercy. That's why later on he'll say, اختلاف المقاصد لا يجلب اختلاف القصد. اختلاف المسالك, sorry. Differences in approaches لا يجلب doesn't necessitate the different objective. Because we believe Allah is what? الواسع. الواسع لا نهاية ولا بداية. الواسع is the one that has no beginning, no ending, no time, no place, no measurement, no physicality. So if Allah is beyond the physical, then everything that we do that's righteousness within the physical realm can be accepted by the transcendent being, Allah. So later on he begins and he does something remarkable. If in this part he married fiqh with tasawwuf, he marries the community with the names of God. And that's like art, man. It's art. So he said, you know, these differences are something you should appreciate. If they're all within the realm of the permissible, of course, right? Then he says something else, and I'll finish. And this is very powerful for us. He says that the blessings of something is based on what it follows, not who followed. What he means is, sometimes you hear people say to you, like, you know, like, you're from the latter ummah of Muhammad, so you suck. Like, you're so far away from the Sahaba, your life is trash. Right? We're so far away from those days. But what Sheikh is saying is, it's not about time and place. It's about who you follow. And then he says, many of the Sahaba, especially Ahlul Sufa, were poor and they became rich. But there's Allah still like commended them in the Quran and praised them in the Quran and mentioned their greatness even after some of them achieved material success. So he unpacks this very important point. You talk about the, like, honestly, if we look at like 85% of the boards in Muslim nonprofits, there's not one poor person on those boards. What does it tell you about us? That our values are capitalism. Our values are deen. Whereas the Prophet loved to sit with who? And be with who? And he said, in the hereafter, I hope I can be resurrected with who? With the poor. So what Sheikh is trying to say is the line of Rakim for old heads, it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. It doesn't matter where you say you are, who you are, how much money you have, or your race, or whatever, or that you're not from the time of the Sahaba. You follow Muhammad.